Sanhedrin?
Yeah, Sanhedrin. You know each other?
So,
we're going to look on Daf Hey and Aleph. Part of this Daniel will be a chazar for you, but we're going to finally finish this up. So the Gemara here on Daf Hey and Aleph presents a brisa. It actually starts in Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan Dinei Mamnas Bishlosha, and then on Daf Hey and Aleph Im Hoya Mumche LeRabim Don Afilu Yechidi. Now the big question that we want to address is, what's the status of a mumcha l'rabim, that he can judge on his own? Does he have the status of a bezdin, or is it just that his din is a valid din? So we're going to start by looking at the Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says the following: Echad shaya mumcha l'rabim o notel rishus mi bezdin, HaReizim Mutalo Lodun Yechidi, he can judge the case on his own. Aval Eino Choshev Bezdin, the Rambam says, although he can issue a verdict and we can recognize that verdict, but he's not a Bezdin. So let's just mention that the Rambam in Perek Hei Milchus Sanhedrin gives us two nafkiminas. What difference does it make whether you say he is a Bezdin or he's not a Bezdin? First of all, we have halacha of hodah b'fnei bezdin. When a person is, let's say, sued for money, and his response was, yes, I owe you money, he admits that he owes money, that's called a hodah. So if he made this hodah in front of bezdin, then he cannot rescind that hodah. It's absolutely binding. But if he made the hodah shelo b'fnei bezdin, like for example, if I would approach you here outside of a bezdin, I'd say, you owe me 1,000, and you say, yeah, I owe you 1,000. So you could say meshata nibach, you could turn around and say, well, it was a nice joke, you know, I wasn't serious about it, and it doesn't commit you to that hodah, because hodah has to be in front of bezdin. So too, there's a halacha of kfira. Let's say you deny the claim because you say you never bought the money. Then you later on you want to change it and you want to say, all right, Adam came and said you did borrow the money, so you'll say you paid back the money. So you can't change your claim once it was made in front of a bezdin. So the Rambam in Perek Hei Milchos Sanhedrin says, Yochid shu mumcha l'rabim, afa pishu don dini mamonos, biyachidi, ein hodah b'fan of hodah b'fnei bezdin. The Rambam says, even though this yachid has the status of deciding a case, and if he decided a case, then that's binding, and halacha recognizes that, but nevertheless, it's not considered a hodah b'fan of, because he doesn't have the status of a bezdin. Aval b'shlosha, if there were three dayanim, even though they're hedyotos, they're not mumchin, nevertheless, harei hodah b'fneim hodah, if they form a bezdin, then they have the status of a bezdin, and therefore, if somebody confesses or admits that he owes money, and he made that statement in front of three judges, that is binding. And v'chein ha-kofer b'fneihem, if a person denies a claim, that's also binding, if it took place in front of a bezdin. But if it was in front of a yachid mumcha, then it's not binding. So Binyamin, you came in a drop late. Should I just review the main point for you so you'll be on board? I don't want you to lose
it's
the train.
It's about admitting or denying.
It's about the status of a yachid mumcha. The halach. Oh, all right. So now Brian is here too. So I'll review.
For the talk.
No. It's all right, Brian.
I'm just kind of lost. Why am I getting sick?
Well, the first part is a chazorah, and then we're going to get to the main point. If you remember, we had a few questions that are outstanding. So you can close your ears for the next 10 minutes, and then you can open your ears.
But for base 10 3, you need all three to be in agreement. You can need two against one.
Two against one is fine. Mm-hmm. But the point is that three dayonim form a bezdin. It's an entity of a bezdin. And that has tremendous significance. Although a yachid mumcha is kosher ladun, that's what we saw here in the Gemara Daf Hey, and his judgment is valid, but nevertheless, he doesn't form a bezdin. So if the hodah took place in front of one yachid mumcha, that hodah is not binding.
He is fit for doing what? For giving certain judgments?
He can give a judgment in Dini Mominus, and he'll decide the case, and that case...
But that hodah needs a numerical value of three.
No, but he doesn't have the same status as three dayanim, because three dayanim form a bezdin. Mm-hmm. So there's a double nafkamina. Number one, whereas a hodah b'fnei bezdin is binding, a hodah b'fnei a yachid mumcha is not binding. Yeah, before there was like a wind blowing in, so we closed it. But maybe we can find a... We can find the middle, you know.
Sorry, you want more than like
a couple days.
Let's make it a how about this? It's like halfway measure. Alright? This is a sugya for tomorrow's shiur.
Sure.
Right. And the same thing applies in a kfira. If he denies the claim, that statement is absolutely binding in front of a bezdin, but not so in front of a yochid mumcha. Okay. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Tur in Choshe Mishpat says that according to the Rush, as opposed to the Rambam, there's no difference between a yochid mumcha and gimel hedyotos, to the same extent that a bezdin that's made up of three hedyotos is a bezdin, so too a yachid mumcha has the status of a bezdin. So let's just summarize. According to the Rambam, a yachid mumcha could issue a verdict, and that verdict is binding. But he's not a bezdin. According to the Rosh, since the halacha vests in the yachid mumcha the status of a din, his judgment is binding, therefore he has the status of a bezdin. And then Afkamina is going to be in the case of hodah in front of a yachid mumcha. According to the Rambam, that hodah is not binding because it's not a bezdin. But according to the Torah, the name of his father, the Rosh, that hodah would be binding because one yachid mumcha is a bezdin. Now we want to mention the chiddush of the Briska Rav. I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but let's go over it again. The Briska Rav says that when the Rambam tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yoshua as the Melech, he did it together with his Bezdin. So the Briska Rav asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam, need a Bezdin if he has the status of Shivan V'Yechlin? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So the Briska Rav has this whole chiddush that Moshe Rabbeinu at some point in time lost his status as Shivan V'Yechlin when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to gather together Shivim Zekeinim, right?
In
Parashas Yisro, at that point Moshe Rabbeinu forfeited his status, and now we have a real Bezdin. So therefore, when we get to Parshas Pinchas and Moshe Rabbeinu appoints Yoshua, he no longer has the status of Shiva V'Echad. That's the way the Briska Rav understood it. But today, which is not something that we stood in the past, we're going to offer another possible approach, another answer as to why the Rambam insists that when Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yoshua, he needed a Bezdin. And this is based on Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and also Rav David Soloveitchik. And they say the following. That there's an entity called a Beis Din. It has to be made up of three judges. Less than three judges is not a Beis Din. Moshe Rabbeinu is a great mumcha, but according to the Rambam Shita, he's not a Beis Din. So he doesn't have the status of three judges. The halach of Shimon v'Echad, that's what's called a chashivus, meaning it's a Beis Din chashuv. But it has to be a Beis Din. So the primary foundation is that you have a Beis Din, and then on top of that, you can add Moshe Rabbeinu and jack it up to a Beis Din Choshev. But it can't be a Beis Din Choshev if it's not a Beis Din. And since Moshe Rabbeinu, although he's a Yochin Mumcha, he's not a Beis Din, because for a Beis Din we need a minimum of how many judges? Three judges, not less. Therefore, when the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu, together with his Beis Din, appointed Yoshua, what the Rambam means to say is that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together another two judges, and now he sits on a Beis Din of three. Once it's a Beis Din, now because Moshe Rabbeinu is part of that Beis Din, that jacks up the, you know, it sort of intensifies or how should I say, it elevates the status of that Beis Din to a Beis Din Chashuv, and it can replace 71 elders. So in other words, not like the Brisker Rav understood in the Rambam, that what the Rambam meant by a Beis Din is that he gathered together 70 elders. No. According to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he didn't have to gather together 70 elders, because Moshe Rabbeinu was equivalent to 70 elders. But he needed a Beis Din of three judges in order to make it into a Beis Din. Once it's got a Chalosh in Beis Din, then it can become a Beis Din Chosher, because Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the members of the court. Okay. Now we're up to a paragraph here that starts with Vehine Lidas Harosh on the left column. Now let's just summarize. According to the Rosh, once we give a Yachid Mumcha the authority to issue a verdict, he becomes a Beis Din. And now we want to know the following. Would the Rosh allow a Yachid Mumcha to receive Eidus? We need a Beis Din for Eidus. Eidus has to be taken, it has to be testified in front of a Beis Din.
Let's say Rosh Chodesh, if you can do it in front of a woman. The Eidim for the moon, let's say.
Okay, that's a good case, but let's focus more on Dini Momenus, right? Two Eidim are going to testify that Reuven owes Shimon 1,000. They have to testify where?
In front of a
Beis Din, correct? Oh. So now, the question is, can they testify in front of a Yachid Mumcha? And what's going to be the answer? It depends on the machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam. If you hold that a Yachid Mumcha has the status of a Beis Din, then the Edom can testify in the presence of a Yachid Mumcha. Why? Because he replaces a Beis Din, and he has the same exact status as a Beis Din. But if on the other hand you go with the Rambam Shita,
he cannot
receive the Eidus, because Eidus has to be in front of a Beis Din, and the Rambam says that Yochid Mumcha is not a Beis Din. So here we have a machlokas between the Shach and the Nesivus. The Shach lived about 4 centuries ago, and you know, nobody has the audacity to argue against the Shach. He's so powerful, until the Nesivus came along about 2 centuries ago, and he had the chutzpah to argue against the Shach. The Shach says,
"You argue."
What did he say?
"You argue with the Shach."
The Nesivus. The Nesivus lived in the city of Lvov about 150, 200 years ago. So let's go back to the Shach. The Shach says the following, that according to the Rambam, we're going to need a Beis Din for Kabbalah's Eidus. After the Eidim testified in front of a Beis Din of three judges, a Yachid Mumcha could now, based on the testimony of these two Eidim, he could issue a Din, a Psak Din, in Dini Mamonos, but it's impossible for him, the Yachid Mumcha, to have received the Eidus, because the Rambam holds that the Yachid Mumcha does not have the status of what? Of a Beit Din. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
The Nesivus comes along and he says the following, that since the Rambam admits, I mean, that's what we saw in the Gemara, that a Yachid Mumcha can issue a din, therefore the Rambam is going to agree that he can be Mekabel Eidus. In other words, Kabbalas Eidus is meaningful, is valid in front of anyone or anything or any entity that's capable of issuing a din. If you're Roy Ladun, then you're Roy Lekabel Eidus. There's no such thing, according to the Sivas, as requiring another body, another entity, in this case a Beis Din, to be a Kabbalah Eidus. Kabbalah Eidus is only part of a din. Anyone who's Roy Ladun and can issue a final din is Roy Lekabel Eidus. So that the Nesivus argues with the Shach. The Shach says, well, you need a Beis Din for Kabbalah Eidus. That's engraved in stone. There are no exceptions to that rule. And if, according to the Rambam, Yochid Mumcha, who's capable of issuing a din, is not a Beis Din, then he cannot be Mekabel Eidus. So we have a very cumbersome situation here where the Eidus has to be testified in front of three judges. The final decision and verdict can be issued by one judge who's a Yochid Mumcha. But do you follow what I mean by cumbersome?
Do they?
It's very technically cumbersome. It's difficult.
What if two Hidyotim were on one side and the Mumche was on the other side? So now you have a majority.
What do you mean in the decision-making process? Yeah. You mean? Well, again, what we're saying, Alan, is as follows: that as far as the decision-making process, the other two judges can drop out, they can go home, Shalom al Yisrael, and you're left with one judge. He's in Mumche l'Rabim. He will make the decision on his own. But says the Shach, what about the Kabbalah Eidus? You can't make a decision until there's testimony. The testimony is required in front of what? A Beis Din. And the Rambam holds that a Yochid Mumcha is not a Beis Din. So there's a two-stage process over here. The Nesivus wants to cut out this whole process of requiring a Beis Din for the Kabbalah Eidus, and then the Yochid Mumcha will make his decision and he'll make a verdict on his own. No! If the Yochid Mumcha is able to verdict on his own, then the Torah is recognizing his din. If the Torah recognizes his power of din, then the Torah has to allow him to accept the Eidus, because accepting the Eidus is part of din. Binyama, what do you want to say?
Do they argue parallel to the Rambam and the Rosh, or do they argue within the Rambam?
According to the Rosh, even the Shach agrees that a Yochid Mumcha could be Mekabel Eidus, because the Rosh is saying that a Yochid Mumcha has the status of a Beis Din. That's not an issue. But the problem, says the Shach, is the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that a Yochid Mumcha, with all due respect his power of Din, he's not a Beis Din. And then we spoke about Haldon, Kfira, that all those dinim don't apply to a Yochid Mumcha. He can only issue a din. Now, with regard to Kabbalah Seder, says the Shach, we need Beis Din, and the Yochid Mumcha is not a Beis Din according to the Rambam. So the Rambam is the headache over here. Why? Because the Rambam holds that a Yochid Mumcha is not Beis Din. We know that you need a Beis Din for Kabbalah Seder. Hence, the Shach says it's going to have to be this very, very cumbersome two-stage process. We're going to have Kabbalah Seder in front of a Beis Din of three judges. Once the Eidus has been validated and now we have the evidence of the Eidim, now at this point the Yochid Mumcha can do a lone job here and issue a Psak. The Nesivus can't tolerate this. The Nesivus insists that if you're Roy Ladun, then the process of Kabbalah Eidus is part of the process of Din, and therefore the Rambam would also agree to the Rosh that Kabbalah Eidus could take place in the presence of one aid. I'm sorry, of one die.
So that just means you tell the government.
There won't be any other aid, any other dayanim, according to the Nesivus. There'll only be one Yochid Mumcha. We're not going to invite any other.
Yeah, but the Rambam said that can't be a Beis Din.
So comes along the Nesivis and he says, even though the Rambam says they can't be a Bez, then they can still be Mekabel Edus. How is that possible? Answer is, if you're Roy Ladun, then by definition you have to be Roy Lekabel Edus, because there's no such thing as Din without Edus. Edus and Din is part of one process. And if the Torah, the Halacha, recognized the validity of one Dayan for Din, to issue a Din, then by definition he must be valid, and the Torah recognizes his ability to Mekabel Edus. That's the Nesivus. Okay.
Where did the Nesivus, he was in Israel? Or?
No, I don't think he made it to Israel. I'm not positive, but I don't think he made it to Israel. He was in a city called Lemberg, or otherwise known as Lvov, Poland.
It was considered to be very controversial.
This Nesivus is very controversial. I don't know if everything he says is controversial. He wrote also the Chavos Das on Yoredeya. I mean, you could have made three Einsteins out of his brain. I mean, he was an absolute genius. But he doesn't have the status of the Shach. The Shach is much like a Rishon. Even though the Shach lived four centuries ago, nobody messes with the Shach. I mean, the Shach is like the final word. When my Rebbe said a Shia, you know, if he mentioned the Shach, it was like mentioning the Rambam almost, you know. Okay. So now we go to the Briska Rav. Mm-hmm. The Briska Rav wants to prove that the Nesivus is not right. And he proves it from a Darsha Be'erva. The halacha is that Edus in a Darsha Be'erva, like in a Darsha Be'mamon, requires a Bezdin. And yet, the final decision regarding the Dovah Shabbat can be made by one posek, one Mora Hora. Says the Briska Rav, according to the Nesivus, if the final decision can be made by one Mora Hora, then the Kabbalah's Edus should also be made by one Mora Hora. Because the Nesivus holds that if you, whoever you are, you can issue a final decision, then you can accept the Edus. It's all part of one package deal. So if you're Roy Ladun, you're Roy Lekabbalah Seidus. But that's not the case. In a Dover Shebe'erva, we derive from a Xerah Shava called Dover Shebe'mamon, that just like in Mamonos, we need Eidus in front of a Bezdin made up of three, so too in a Dover Shebe'erva, we need a Bezdin that's made up of three in order to be Mekabel Eidus. But why is that so? According to the Shach, it's beautiful. Because the Shach holds that there's a separation between the final decision and the process of Kabbalah Seidus. The process of Kabbalah Seidus requires a Bezdin of three judges, and that's set in stone. There's no exception to that rule, even though the final decision can be handed down by one Mora Hora. But according to the Nesivus, that if the final decision can be validated by one Mora Hora, then Kabbalah Seidus can also be valid in front of that Mora Hora. Why is it that in the Dover Shebe'erva, where the final decision is made by one Mora Hora, yet we derive from the Xerah Shava that you need a Bezdin for Kabbalah's Edus? So in the Dover Shebe'erva, we're going to have a two-stage process. That's what the Briska Rav is pointing out. You know, the Nesivus wants to avoid all this cumbersome two-stage process where you need a Bezdin of three for Kabbalah's Edus, and then you have one Dayan who's making the decision. Well, says the Briska Rav, in fact, that's the case in a Dover Shebe'erva. In a Dover Shebe'erva, if you have two Edim testifying that this woman had a relationship with another man, she was married, then you need a Bezdin for that. Even though the ultimate decision, after the Edus was accepted, is going to be handed down by one single Mora Hora. Well, according to the Nesivus, I don't get it. Because the Nesivus holds that you don't need a Bezdin in Kabbalah's Edus. All you need is to be made in front of someone who's royal or din. And just like in the case of a Yochid Mumcha and Dini Mominus, we said that he can accept the Edus because he's Royal Adin, so too, in the case of Dovah Shebe'erva, we should be able to accept the Edus in front of the one single judge who's going to be Royal Adin.
No, we don't.
And that's not the case. The Din is that in Kabbalah's Edus of the Dovah Shebe'erva must be in front of two of a Bezdin made up of three judges. So at this point, Rabbi Osar, I want you to follow the text inside. Yeah. I'll show you where we're up to. The last paragraph on page 1, which is the page that says Nun Vav on it, starts with the word Vehine, and you'll find a line that starts with Vyesod Pluk Tasam. Divikrak Sivi Amdushne Anashim Lifne Hashem. So the Torah says that these two individuals have to stand Lifnei Hashem. Right, Hashem is written Elokim. And Chazal Darshan, that these Shnei Anoshim are the Edim. And Lifnei Hashem are the Dayanim. Right, Elokim is Dayanim. So from this we derive the conclusion that Edim have to testify in front of Dayanim. Here we have a machlokus between the Shach and the Nesivus. What do we derive from this pasuk of the Amdu Shnei HaNoshim Lifnei Hashem? According to the Shach, Lifnei Hashem means a Bezdin, and it has to have the status of a Bezdin. According to the Rambam, Yochid Mumcha does not have the status of a Bezdin, and therefore the Edom are not testifying Lifnei Elokim, because Lifnei Elokim means in front of a Bezdin. That's how the Shach learns it. The Nesivus, on the other hand, says that if you're going to derive from this pasuk that you need a Torah's Bezdin of Lifnei Hashem, that's going to give you a major headache, because in the case of a Yochid Mumcha, he can serve as a Dayan, but he's not a Bezdin. And hence the Shach derived his conclusion that we're going to need another two judges. Says the Nesivus, no. There's another way of learning Lifnei Elokim. Lifnei Elokim doesn't mean you need a Bezdin, but rather you need Dayanim Haru'uyim Ladun. I would ask you to underline those words, because that's really the key to this whole presentation. You see, the Nesivus is saying that Lifnei Elokim means Dayanim Haru'uyim Ladun. Those are the three key words. Who's ever fit, meaning he's got the stature and the status of being able to hand down a judgment, he is considered Lifnei Elokim. And that means that he serves as Kabbalah's Edus. So the Shach holds that when we say you need Kabbalah's Edus in Bezdin, it means that's an absolute rule. You must have a Bezdin. Lifnei Elokim means in front of a Bezdin. The Nesivus has a more liberal, loose interpretation of Lifnei Elokim. According to Nesivus, you don't need Kabbalah's Edus in front of a Bezdin. Here we're on the next page, Nun Zayin. But rather you need Edus in front of Dayanim Haru'uyim Ladun. And here's going to be the Nafkamina in the case of Yochid Mumcha.
Three Mumchim.
No, not according to the Nesivus. Again, according to the Shach, Lifnei Elokim means in front of a Bezdin. You can't get a Bezdin, according to the Rambam Sheet at least, without three Dayanim. But according to the Nesivus, Lifnei Elokim doesn't mean in front of a Bezdin. It means in front of Dayanim or Uyim Ladun.
That can be one, it's sufficient.
And now we're talking about Yochid Mumcha. He has the status of a Dayan or Roy Ladun. Alright, he's not a Bezdin, but according to Nesivus, Lifnei Elokim doesn't mean an absolute requirement of a Bezdin. It means to testify in front of Dayanim or Uyim Ladun. So the Nafkamina is going to be if you have Dayanim or Uyim Ladun that are not a Bezdin. And that's going to be the case of a Yochid Mumcha according to the Rambam. Now let's analyze the case of Dovr Shebe'er.
Now you know why
you
can't get government together.
I was just thinking the same thing.
All right.
Because who decides if somebody's Ra'u or you're not Ra'u?
I don't know. You have to ask Lieberman that question, not me. I just warn you, if you want to vote for Netanyahu, you better be careful who you vote for. Because we saw many people wanted Netanyahu, but they wasted their vote. Anyway, all right, that's up to you.
So now we explain according to the Machloket Ekronit.
What are we going to do with Dovr Shebe'er?
Yeah.
Comes along the Brisker Rav and he says, in the case of Dovr Shebe'er, the Edus has to be in front of a Bezdin. Wait a minute. If we're saying that Lifnei Elokim, as far as Kabbalah's Edus, means Lifnei Dayanim or Uyim Ladun, why does the Edus in a Dovr Shebe'er have to be in front of a Bezdin? Hinei Maran Agri, Zal, Hevi Raya, The Be'inon Bezdin, we must have a Bezdin, which is the Shach's position for Kabbalah Seders. And what's his right from Dovah Shebe'erva? What are we going to say in favor of the Nesivus? How do we defend the Nesivus against the Raya, the proof that is adduced by the Brisker Rav from the case of Dovah Shebe'erva? Ulam yesh lechalek velomar diafilu neima delo be'inon bezdin lekabolas edus al kolpon be'inon sheyehei bifnei dayanim horu'uyim ladun. Even if we accept the position of the Nesivus that lifnei Elokim, right, the Amdu Shnei Anoshim lifnei Elokim means the Eidim, it doesn't require Bezdin, it requires Dayanim Aruyim Ladun V'Lifsok Es Hadin. But what we do need is a Lifsok Es Hadin Lo Sagi L'Kabal Eidus Bifnei Misha Eino Dayan Uposek Es Hadin. Oh, so here we make the following distinction. There's something called a Dayan who is Posek Es Hadin, and then there's something called a Mora Hora. Were you gentlemen here when I discussed the Ketos HaChoshen on this? Anyway, okay, I'm not going to go over the Ketos HaChoshen now. But there are two worlds of judgment. There's the world of Din, and then there's something called Hora. Like, for example, if I have a chicken, did we discuss this last week? If I have a chicken and I don't know whether it's treif or kosher, I don't need a din. I don't need a psak din for that. I don't need a dayon. All I need is a horas iser v'heter. Right, so that's what Daniel, I mentioned to you before, that if we were relatives and you bring me a chicken and I want to paskin on the chicken, whether it's kosher or treif, I can paskin for you. Why? Because that's not a din of a dayon. A dayon, if he's related to one of the litigants, he's posel. Or for example, a din has to take place by day and not by night. So right now it's night. You take a chicken to me, can I paskin on the chicken at night? I can. In the case of Nida and Maris, you have to get a lot of good light at night in order to paskin. But Horas Isa Veheter. So if I have to tell a woman that she's allowed to go back to her husband, she's not allowed to go back to her husband, that's called Horas Isa Veheter. That's not a din. If this be the case, then even the Nesivus would agree that in the case of Erva, Dovish Erva, you need a Bezdin. A Yachin Mumcha is not going to do it for you because the Yachin Mumcha is not involved in a din. He's not issuing a din. He's issuing a Hora. Hora means I'll tell you what the Torah would say in this case. I'll tell you exactly how you have to behave, how you have to act. A din means you have two litigants and one is Zakai and one is Chayav. You have to determine who's Zakai and who's Chayav. That's called a din. And that has a significant status with all sorts of limitations, all sorts of requirements. You may need a mumcha, you may need a samuk, you may need three dayanim, you need yom and not laila, you need a rachok and not a karov. There may be 1,001 different requirements to set up a din. So when the Nesivus says that the yachid mumcha can accept edim because the yachid mumcha is roi ladin, he means ladin. He's right to issue a din with all the regulations of a din. But in the case of erva, he's not roi ladun. There is no din in the case of erva. Erva is not a question of a din. Erva is a question of horas isa v'heter. He's just a malamed. He's really only functioning as a teacher. Kehoras iser veheter. Mishum hachi b'dovash be'erva deleka psak din v'eino ela horas iser veheter. Even the Nesivus will agree that lo mahani kavolas edus b'fnei echad, because this person, as great as he may be, he could be the Rash Bahag, the Posek Hador, the Gadol Hador. He could be Reb Chaim Kanevsky himself, but nevertheless, he's not issuing a din. That's not what's involved here. Din is between two litigants. When you decide who's guilty and who's not guilty, who has to pay and who doesn't have to pay. Here, you're just being a mora hora. Mora hora means you're being a malamed. You're telling them what you have to do in this case. Now we have another halach of edus. Well, edus requires a bezdin. If not a bezdin, at least a roi laduin. So in the case of a yachid mumchen dini mamonos, he's a dayan who's roi laduin. He can issue a din. But hora asis of a heter, that doesn't give you the status of a dayan, and your decision is not a din. In fact, it could be that you could hop around from one mora hora to another. I don't know. You have to know this. I mean, there are sugyas about this. But theoretically, if you don't like what I tell you about your chicken, you could go to another rav and get a different hora. I mean, again, there are all sorts of what I call ethical issues involved. But leaving out the ethical issues, it's not something that. Or I'll give you another example. Let's say a person was mora hora. And then he thinks it over, and he decides, you know what? I think I made a mistake. All he has to do is tell you, you know what? Don't rely on what I said to you yesterday. Listen to what I'm saying to you today. That's not so in a din. A din is irreversible. There are no appeal courts over here. You follow what I'm saying? If the dayan would admit that he made a mistake, he's going to have to pay out of pocket. So if he paskin, for example, in a din, that Reuven owes Shimon 1,000, and Reuven paid the 1,000, Reuven has no recourse to get his money back from Shimon, even if the dayan admits that he made a mistake. What might happen is that the dayan will have to pay Reuven if he made a mistake. There's no insurance over here.
There's taking it to a higher court?
No such thing as taking it to a higher court. It doesn't exist.
They tried that a few years ago. The gas and sweat.
Oh, really? To take it to a higher court?
The Besdin Gadol tried to create an era.
Look, it could be in the modern state of Israel. Maybe the different rules and regulations. I'm talking about.
They have what they call the Supreme Besdin.
Well, there's something called the Besdin of Ayin Aleph. So they have jurisdiction over, for example, Mini Melech, you know, to appoint a king, to expand the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the location of Yerushalayim. You know, they have control over a king. If a king has to be tried in a court, it has to be in front of a court of 71 elders and what's called an Ireni Dachas and a Shevet and a Zokei Mamre. You know, there are many things which require the highest court, but that's not an appeal theory. That means that there's certain areas of jurisdiction of a Bezin Shel Gimel, there are other areas of jurisdiction of a Bezin of Chaf Gimel, and there are other areas of jurisdiction of a Bezin of Ayin Aleph. But there's no such thing as appeal court. Once a din was paskin by whoever is roi ladun, that's irreversible. The only recourse you could have if there's something went wrong here is that maybe you could sue the judges or the judge for making a mistake. That's possible. I mean, we're not getting into that now. I mean, that's a complicated sugya unto itself.
I was saying all cases of ever. I mean, there could be cases of ever.
But I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. All cases
this,
of
this halacha. We talk about one can be done
right.
In all cases of sure, even whether it's creating mamzerus or whatever. You can get cases of Sheva where there's a chayichi of Misa.
So you're right. If we're condemning someone to death, that becomes already dini nefashos. But if we're asking whether or not he has iser v'heter here, then we just ask a rav. However, the information and the evidence to on which the rav bases his decision, if it's edus, then it has to be lifnei Hashem, lifnei Elokim. So even though the Nesivus has this principle of if you're roi ladun, then you're roi lekabalas ha'edus, that's only in din. But when it comes to ras isa v'heter, you're not roi ladun. You can teach us the din in this case. And now kabalas ha'edus requires dayanim, or somebody who's roi ladun. You're not roi ladun in this case. Hence, the Nesivus could agree to what the Biskura points out, that based on the Gezer Shav of Dover Mama Mi'erva, we're going to derive the conclusion that the Eidus has to be accepted by a Bezdin, or at least by one Yachid Mumcha who could issue a Din. But now that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a Dover Shav Erva. We're not talking about a Din. And if we're not talking about a Din, and we're only talking about Oros Yisav HaHetah, then even the Nesivus will agree that there's no such principle here as Roy Ladun. Hence, the Edom have to be accepted in front of a Bezdin. Now we want to study the Ramban. So Ramban quotes Rav Sadja Gaon in his Perish on Parshas Mishpatim, who says, and this, Daniel, I think you mentioned earlier today, that in the case of Dine Nefashos, so we have a capital crime, the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin requires a Bezin of Chaf Gimel in a capital crime, says Rav Sadja Gaon, but the Edus can be accepted by a Bezin of Gimel. So you have three judges, they'll accept the Edus, and then you'll add another 20 judges in order to get a Beis Din that can issue a final verdict about his Chi of Misa. No, so the Edim testify that Reuben killed Shimon, and that testimony took place in front of a Beis Din of Shlosha. That Edus is now valid, and we can rely on that Edus. The Beis Din shall Gimel does not have the authority or the jurisdiction to determine that he's Chayav Misa. For that we need a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel. So we'll add another 20 judges to get a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel, and they'll decide the verdict. But they don't have to hear the Edus. The Edus was heard by a Beis Din of Gimel. That's the sheet of Rav Sadja Gaon. And the Ramban comments on this Rav Sadja Gaon that Edus of Dine Mamonos needs Kabbalah in front of a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel. So we have now a machlokus between the Ramban and Rav Sadja Gaon. What kind of a Beis Din would be effective, would be valid to accept testimony in a capital case? According to Rav Sadja Gaon, it's the old Beis Din of any Kabbalah Edus, like we saw in Dine Mamonos, made up of three judges. According to Ramban, those three judges did not have the power to issue a din in a capital case. Hence, the Edus cannot be offered or presented in front of a judgment in front of a court that's made up of three judges. You need a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel. In other words, Ramban is identifying the same Beis Din that's going to finally issue the din is the same Beis Din that is qualified or authorized to accept the Edus. Whereas Rav Sadja Gaon is willing to bifurcate, he's willing to split it into two. You have a classic Beis Din of Gimel Dayanim, and they are Lifnei Hashem, and therefore the Edus can take place in front of them. When the final din comes around, and it's a capital crime, then we need a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel. This machlokas is very, very similar to the machlokas between the Shach and the Nesivis. Why? Because Rav Sadja Gaon holds that Kabbalah's Edus needs a Beis Din of Gimel. That's what Kabbalah's Edus needs. You don't need anything more than Gimel. But no, according to Ramban, what you need is a Roy Ladud. You need, for Kabbalah's Edus, is always going to be determined by Roy Ladud. Well, who's Roy Ladud in a capital case? What kind of Beis Din, Rabbi Osai, is Roy Ladun? Only Chaf Gimel. In other words, the Nesivis and the Ramban are basically saying the same thing, just that Nesivis is Lekula and the Ramban is Lechumra. What do I mean? The Ramban is Lechumra and saying, well, you're not Roy Ladun as a Beis Din Shel Gimel, therefore you cannot be Mekabel the Edus in a capital crime. We need a Beis Din that's Roy Ladun. Hence, we're going to require we're going to jack up the requirements of Kabbalah's Edus in the case of Dine Nefashos to a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel. The Nesivis is on the same page as the Ramban. He also assumes that Kabbalah's Edus, the requirements and regulations that apply to Kabbalah's Edus are identical to who's Roy Ladun. He comes up with a kula that in Dini Mamonos, according to the Rambam, who holds that Yochin Mumcha is not a Beis Din, it doesn't matter, he's Roy Ladun. Since the Yochin Mumcha can issue the din, therefore the Edus can be accepted in front of the Beis Din, without a Beis Din, meaning because the Rambam holds that Yochin Mumcha is not a Beis Din, in front of Yochin Mumcha, who's Roy Ladun. The Shach, on the other hand, just give me one more second, I want to make sure I have the mathematics here. The Shach should be identified with the Bahag, with the Rav Sadja Gaon. Meaning, Rav Sadja Gaon says that there's a requirement that's etched in stone. It says, V'omdu shnei anoshim lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means a Beis Din of Gimel. So the requirements of Kabbalah's Edus in all cases is a Beis Din of Gimel. According to the Rambam, Yochid Mumcha is not a Beis Din. If he's not a Beis Din, it's not Lifnei Hashem. Hence, even in a monetary case where a Yochid Mumcha is going to issue the decision, the Kabbalah's Edus, according to the Shach, has to be in front of a Beis Din of Gimel. Says Rav Sajid Gaon, I can take the same logic of the Shach and I can derive a kula. That even though Roy Ladun, in the case of Dini Nefashos, has got to be a Bezdin of Chav Gimel, nevertheless, there's a law that's etched in stone that as far as Kabbalah's Eidus is concerned, Lifnei Hashem means in front of a Bezdin. Well, guess what? Gimel Dayanim is a Bezdin. Hence, the Kabbalah's Eidus can be valid in front of a Bezdin of Gimel. And then when it comes to the Din, we're going to need, as we said before, a Bezdin of Chav Gimel.
No, it's fine.
I just had to get the mathematics.
But it makes totally no sense. If you testify in...
Wait, when you say it makes no sense, who are you in favor of? Are you voting in favor of the Shach and Rav Sajid Gaon, or in front of the Ramban and the Nesivos?
I'm not voting in favor of Rav Sajid Gaon. Makes such no sense that you can testify in front of three people, but 23 people, 20 of who never heard the case, can make a decision.
Well, that's an interesting question. Alan, I'm not sure the answer to your question. I would plead the fifth on this, as we say in America, meaning I don't know enough information yet. You know, I just started learning Masechta Sanhedrin for the first time in my life about a month ago, so you'll have to bear with me. It could very well be that the three judges who are makabel the Eidus in a Dini Nefashos cases, according to Rav Sajid Gaon, are part of the ultimate Bezdin, meaning...
I don't. 20 didn't.
Meaning, we're going to add another 20 judges to the three judges who heard the Eidus. Now you're asking, but what about the other 20 judges?
The three established.
So that's going to be
based on the Eidus.
That's going to be the paragraph here that we're up to now. Let me give you a little bit of an introduction to the next paragraph because it really touches on your question, Alan. There's something called Kiyum Shtaris. Now, Kiyum Shtaris means that if I have a document with the signature of two witnesses, I have to verify and validate that shtar. Why? Because there's always a possibility of forgery. So that means we don't know if the two signatures on the bottom of the shtar are authentic or they are forgeries. Okay? So in order to establish the status of the shtar, the kashrus of the shtar, right, the reliability of the shtar, we need kiyum shtaros. Now kiyum shtaros, to validate the shtar, can be effectuated in many different ways. We can compare the signatures to other signatures, but the classic kiyum shtaros means that we need two witnesses to come into court. Again, if the original two witnesses will come in, that's great, that's ideal. But if they're gone, then we bring in two witnesses who recognize their signature, and they testify on the shtar. And that's called the Kabbalah Eidus. So it's a little bit odd here, because what happens is that the shtar itself is Eidus, but we need an Eidus on the Eidus. And that's the takana of Kiyum Shtaros. Okay, so far so good, you with me? Mm-hmm. Oh. What happens if two out of the three of the judges who are sitting on this case recognize the signatures of the Eidim? Mm-hmm. Now, in contemporary life, that's very, very common. Why? Because, I don't know if you've ever been in a divorce court here in Israel, but there are two witnesses that sign on all the gittin, you know, because they check them out and they know all the laws, and I don't know if they get paid or they don't get paid, that's a whole different question, right? But they're kashli eidus, hopefully, right? And they are upstanding. We always rely on these two eidus. But here's a case where you have a shtar, we need to be mekayim the shtar, and two of the judges sitting on the bench, sitting on the court case, recognize the signature. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, a whole sugi which we're about to embark upon. Can these two witnesses, I'm sorry, let's put it this way. Can these two judges wear two different hats? Can they play a double role? Can they, on the one end, issue the final decision together with the third judge? And on the same hand, at the same time, they can testify to be Mekayim the Shtar. But to testify to be Mekayim the Shtar, they have to testify in front of a Bezdin. How do they do that? So if the third judge is a yachid mumche, then a possibility exists that these two edim will testify in front of the third judge, who now is a yachid mumche. Then they will join as, then they, so to speak, you know, take off their hat as edim, and now they sit down to judge the case based on edus. But the edus is their own edus. You follow what's going on over here. The judges are going to be machsha the shtar based on their own testimony.
Yeah.
They, on the one hand, they need a formal act of testimony, which is going to happen when they testify in front of the third dayan. But at the same time, now they want to serve to be danes hadin based on their own testimony. This is a sugin ksubis. The hine b'ksubis daf chaf alpha b'beis hamrinan shlosha shiyoshvu l'kaimis hashtar shnayim, two out of the three judges makirim, they recognize chasima as yedei edim. The echad, the third judge, eno makir, he doesn't recognize, he can't determine that these are valid, that these are authentic signatures. And the Gemara establishes that me'idim befanov v'chosem, which means the following: that they, the two edim that recognize the signature, will testify in the presence of the third judge v'chosem. And now the third judge, hearing the testimony of the two dayanim, right, who recognize the signatures, he can sign on the kiyum shtaros. Now again, we're not yet ready for the ultimate psak din, right, as to whether Reuven has to pay Shimon. At this point, we need a psak din on the shtar itself. Is the shtar valid? And that requires what's called a henpeik. Okay, you don't have to know the word henpeik, but it means that the shtar has to have the signatures of Beis Din testifying that we, as a Beis Din, accepted testimony to verify the shtar. So the shtar is considered authenticated by virtue of, number one, the edus in front of a Beis Din to verify the signatures, and number two, by the chasima, the signature of the Beis Din on the shtar. So, for example, if let's say this shtar gets lost, it falls on the floor, and one of the litigants picks it up and he says, "This is my shtar." So he has a very powerful tool in his hand because that's a shtar that already has kiyum on it. It's like in a check, you know, when you have an endorsement on the back of a check. You know, you don't want to mess around with endorsing a check because if you lose the check, that's like money in the hands of the finder. So that's what happens over here. Once there's a chasima of the dayanim on the Beis Din on the shtar, which is called a henpeik, and they verify the signatures, that shtar is like an endorsed check. It's like mamish cash, like money in the bank. So the Ramban in Ksubis raises the following question: Ha'edus she'idu b'fnei oso shlishi. Hech shma edus. It's very nice that they testified in front of one judge, but we need testimony in front of three judges. They can't be the judges and at the same time be the edim. So they're testifying in front of the third judge. Well, he's only one judge. Says the Ramban, kishahaya mumche. It must mean that this third judge is a mumcha. And if he's a mumcha, then he has the status of a Beis Din. Now, let's assume for one moment that the Ramban holds like the Rush. You remember that the Rush holds that a Yochid mumcha has the same status as a Beis Din. Correct? But there's only one problem. The Ramban holds that... Just one second, let's go over the Ramban and his argument against the Rasag. Give me 1 minute just to make the mathematics. Everybody think on their own. Right, the Ramban held that you need a Beis Din of Chaf Gimel for Kabbalah's Eidus. Why? Because Kabbalah's Eidus has to be someone who's Roy Lodman. So far this is very good. This Ramban I think is Lishitasa. Why? Because when the two judges will testify on the signature of the shtar in front of the third dayan, that third dayan is a yachid mumche, and he's roi ladun. Why is he roi ladun? Because a yachid mumche can be roi ladun. Correct? Now, one second. So now we're going to hold like the Nesivis. Did we identify the Ramban with the Nesivis? I just want to make sure I'm not making an error in mathematics. We did.
Yes.
Okay? You gentlemen will be my jury over here, right? So we identified the Ramban with the Nesivis. Just that he was L'chumra in the case of Dini Nefashos. He's going to require that the Kabbalah's Eidus be in front of a basin of Chav Gimel because only they Roy Lod. So now if the third judge on this bench with regard to Kim Shtaros is a Yochid Mumche, then he could be Makabal Eidus. So the Ramban is very good. Vehine, Bishut HaRajba, Uva Baritva Hiksha. Im Mairi B'Yochid Mumche, Lama Tzarech Shlosha, L'Kayim HaShashtar, V'alo HaYochid Mumche, B'Yatzmo Yochid L'Kayim HaShashtar. One second. What we're saying is now the Kiyum Shtaros is implemented by three judges. One judge will hear the testimony of the other two judges, and all three of them will be Mekayim the Shtar. But the Ramban just finished telling me that the third judge who did not recognize the signatures was a Yochid Mumcha. No, if he's a Yochid Mumcha, why do you need three judges to be Mekayim as a Shtar? Why not just be Mekayim the Shtar with the Yochid Mumcha? The E name of the Sfirulei La Ramban, the Kabbalas Eidus Tzarech Lios Bifnei Bezdin Aroi Lodun Tikshi Heich Mahani LeKabbal Eidus Bifnei HaYochid Mumcha Kishe Eino Kosho LeKayim as a Shtar. Oh, now I understand. The Ritva is assuming that you need three Dayanim to be Mekayim as a Shtar. No, if you need three Dayanim to be Mekayim as a Shtar, then how could the Yochid Mumche, the way the Ramban interprets the Sugya, accept the Eidus? Because the Eidus is in order to sign the shtar and accept and validate the shtar. Well, the Ramban holds that to validate the shtar you need three dayanim. The Yochid Mumcha alone is not sufficient. No, if he's not sufficient, how can he be Makabal Eidus on the Chasimus HaShtar? That's the Ritva's Kasha. So again, the Ramban holds that you can only have Kabbalas Eidus if you're Roy Lodun. And now, in the case of Kim Shtaros, we're saying that a Yochid Mumcha is not Roy Lodun because the Kim Shtaros has to be implemented in front of a basin of three judges. Correct? Just one second. Yeah, let's read the Ramban. Ramban said the what? That Kishahaya Mumcha, Varoy Ladun, Yechidi. Oh, I'm sorry, Vishar Dini Mumcha. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I missed three important words here. You want to underline those words? You see the paragraph of Hine Biksubis, if you drop down, let's count it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down, you'll see Bishar Dini Mumcha. So the Ramban is saying the following, and this is against the Ramban. He's contradicting himself. The Ramban is saying that the reason why the Kabbalas Eidus here is achieved by one single Dayan is because that Dayan is a Yochid Mumcha who's Roy Lodun Bishar Dini Mumchus. In other words, he cannot be Mekayim the Shtar because for Kiyum HaShtaros we need three judges. But nevertheless, he's Roy Ladun in other cases. So in other words, according to the Ramban, what we're saying about Kiyum Shtaros is that Kiyum Shtaros is like is like Eidus in Darash Be'erva. What do I mean? The Kabbalah's Eidus of Kiyum Shtaros requires three Dayanim who are Roy Ladun, meaning they based on the testimony that they accept, can now issue a psak on the shtar. They can be machshir the shtar. But the Yochid Mumche, says the Ramban, can receive the Eidus even though he cannot be Mekayim the shtar, because Kiyum Shtaros requires three Dayanim. But the Ramban says, since in Shar Dini Mominos, other than Kiyum Ashtar, we accept the din of a Yochid Mumche, therefore he can be Mekabel the Eidus in the case of Kiyum Ashtar. So the Ritva points out the Ramban is contradicting himself, because the Ramban says that in Kabbalah's Eidus you need Roy Ladun. That's why the Ramban required a Bezdin of Chav Gimel and Dini Nefashos for the Kabbalah's Eidus. Oh, I didn't realize it's... I thought it was about 9 o'clock. All right, we'll stop here. I apologize.
Thank you.
Again, it's very profound. We're getting all excited about this, you know. All right, we'll daven later.